Romans chapter 6. I just got some short-term memory loss, you know, can't remember how old I am, stuff like that. That's all right. I'm going to get that from my grandpa. I can say that because he's not here. All right. Romans chapter 6. I want to tell you young folks, I'm saying I'm one of them too, that are here today. Some of these guys and ladies have said that getting saved is the best decision they've ever made. Let me tell you, that is the best decision you can ever make in your life. It's the best decision you'll ever make in your life is to get saved, accept Christ into your heart. And I hope that we can help you with that this morning. If you'd look in Romans chapter 6, verse 23. Oh, Michael Oxy, how long I got here? All right. It says in verse 23, for the wages of... If you'd go ahead and stand, I'm sorry. Go ahead and stand in reverence for the word of God. Romans chapter 6, verse 23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let's go ahead and pray. Lord, I thank you for this day. I thank you for this opportunity you've given us. Bless the words that are spoken here today that touch the hearts and some of the folks today. And if they're not sure about their salvation, it gets settled this very day, Lord. We thank you for it and bless the rest of the day. We'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. You can go ahead and be seated. If I can find the right mark here, I'm going to read another verse here. It's one of our text verses. It says in James chapter 1, verse 15, then when lust has conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Today I want to talk to you for a couple minutes about the wages of sin. The wages of sin. Real quick, before we get to the main point, I want to hurry up and go through a couple things. First, I want to look at sin. I see that sin, we can see that in our lives, it's a battle that is taking place every day. Sin, through all of history, since the world was framed, people's had to battle sin. The very first sin, even in heaven, God's basically, I guess you could say, his right-hand man, not his knees, when his song leader, I guess you could say, sinned. Pride wanted the first spot in heaven. And, of course, we know God knocked him down. And we can see all through history, we can look at examples all through the Bible. I'm not going to take the time to do that. We can see several. If you look through your Bible, you can see all over the place where sin is taking place. The Bible says in Romans 5:12, wherefore is by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. So death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. That's talking about Adam and Eve and all that. You know how in the garden they ate of the forbidden fruit, and because of that, sin became in the world, and we can no longer live eternally. Well, not on earth anyway. We're going to die one of these days, which is the main focus of the message. Because of that, let's just go ahead and move on here. I want to see the main part of the message, the wages of sin. The wages of sin. Sin very much does cost something in our lives. Sin is not free. I looked up the word wages, or wage, and this is what it means. Pay, earning, or regular payment. Sin is a regular payment. When you sin, it has a lasting effect upon your life. So this ought to not just touch the hearts of the lost folks here today, it ought to touch our hearts as Christians to realize our place, where we are, and if we're in sin, we need to get out of it. We got to stay out. We got to stay on the right path. As someone was talking about their testimony, staying on that right path and staying out of sin, because people, we pay for sin. It has a lasting, a regular payment upon our life. It's not a one-time thing and it's over with. Oh, well, I sinned, God spanked me and I'm ready to go, whatever. No. It's a lasting effect upon our life. It causes sadness in our life. It's just, all sin is emptiness and vanity. That's all there is. Pleasures in sin for a season. And how long a season is? That's only 3 months. Sin doesn't last. It doesn't give us fulfilling and as the Word of God does and living the Christian life as that does, giving us satisfaction in our life. And as I said, now on to the main point of the message, another wage of sin is death. Bible says in Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12, there's a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. As I said, Satan makes sin look real good at the beginning, makes it look real sweet, real awesome. But at the end, it's vanity. James 1:15, I already read that one. When lust hath conceived, bringeth forth sin. When sin is finished, bringeth forth death. Well, when sin's finished with what? When it's finished ruining your life, wrecking everything that you had, stealing everything good that God wanted for you away, then death comes. A couple things real quick about death. The Bible says in Proverbs 1:6, for the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. real quickly, and I'll be finished. Three things about death: we can die physically. We saw that in Romans 5:12. Death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Because of Adam and Eve's sin and our sin, we can no longer live eternally on the earth. One day we will all die a physical death. As unless Jesus comes back. Anyway, long story. But one day we will all die physically. You can die spiritually. You can die spiritually. How can you die spiritually? It just doesn't make sense if you really just look at it. And then the Bible says in Romans 1:28, "And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient." Just so you know, the word reprobate means a person with no moral scruples, which basically means they have no sense of right or wrong. Abandoned to eternal damnation, rejected, condemned, doomed. It's exactly what sin does to you. You can get to a place in your life as a lost person to where you go so far in sin, you just keep going, and you don't ever repent, that God just says, okay, that's it. He doesn't talk to you anymore. The only words he'll ever say to you again is, depart from me. And that's when you get cast into hell. That's a fearful place to be where the God of heaven doesn't even want to talk to you because you've gone so far in your sin. We can die spiritually. Lastly, eternally. Revelation chapter 20 says in verse 11, "I saw a great white throne and him that sat upon it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and their books were opened. Another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of these things which were written in the books. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead that were in them, and they were judged, every man according to their works, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." That right there is what's going to happen to you if you do not get saved. If you do not listen to what's being said here today, what message is brought forth one day, if you don't get saved, you don't get it settled, when you die or Jesus comes back, you're going to go straight to a devil's hell. The word cast means to like violently hurl or just throw without no aim, to just get rid of, to throw away. Can you just imagine standing there as a sinner, having passed up your opportunity to be saved here on this earth, even maybe this very day, and hearing God say to you, "Depart from me, I never knew you." The flood of just fear and hopelessness rushes over you as you're cast into the lake of fire. Please think about that. If you are not saved, get it settled. Do not wait. We're going to hear about that in a minute, how to get that settled. Real quickly, I got to hurry up. We've got a couple minutes here. Eternal death, separation from God. Well, someone might be sitting here, "Well, that'd just be cool. Party with my friends in hell forever." No, it's not cool. "Well, I'll make a name for myself. Be the coolest guy on the planet. Die and go to hell. Who cares, as long as I'm cool on earth?" Do you realize Proverbs 1:6 says, "The way of the godly shall perish"? Your name is blotted out of the book of life. It's as if you were never born. As if you never existed. And you spend an eternity in hell, separation from God. It ain't no party down there with your friends. It's a horrific place. Please, do not wait. Real quick, I want to see a couple of people. In Luke 16, you can find the story of the rich man and Lazarus. There was a rich man. He had all kinds of things. He was obviously a rich man because that's what he's called. But it says that he fared sumptuously every day. Then a couple verses down, they both die, and it said a couple verses down, "And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments." There's another guy, Lazarus, laid at his gate. He was a leper, I believe. Laid at his gate full of sores. He died as well and was carried into Abraham's bosom, which is paradise, which became heaven. Long story there too. But he basically went to heaven. Real quick in closing, I want you to think about this. You can look down through history and see all kinds of people. Think about Elvis Presley. Half of y'all probably don't know who that is. The only reason I laugh because we go through Tennessee a lot anyway. But he was the king of rock and roll. He was the prince. Satan's the king of rock and roll. Anyway, but he was a famous guy and all. Everybody loved him. He was awesome, man. Great music. He overdosed on drugs and died. And I wouldn't doubt if he's in hell today. I don't know, maybe he got it settled, I don't know. I don't know, how many of y'all have heard of, what's his name? Steve Irwin. Who's heard of Steve Irwin in here? Okay, here we go, there's a couple. He is the crocodile hunter. He's a famous guy too. Man, he had lots of stuff. He's on TV, he's known all over the place. He went and caught a bunch of stuff, whatever. Did you know that famous man rejected God all of his life? One day he was hit with a stinger of a stingray, and today, right now, he's burning in hell. Nothing's going to stop you from dying. Sin brings death. Nothing can stop you from dying. You're going to die one day. Please do not wait. Get it settled today. Brother Tyler. Amen. Turn to John chapter 3. This is a very familiar passage. This is the only remedy for stopping this death. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." I want to talk to you just for a few minutes on God's love story. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I ask you to help me here. Hide me behind you, Lord. Help calm my nerves and just let you only be seen through this. Jesus, now I pray. Amen. Number one, I'm just going to kind of dissect this verse just for a few minutes here. I want to see number one is a sovereign provider. It says, for God. God, the Almighty God, the one who created this earth. He took time to create a plan for us to be able to be with him when we die in heaven. So, and we see this in Romans chapter 6, verse 23. Everybody knows that. I'm going to read it because sometimes my memory does not work very well. It says, "For the wages of sin is death," as Brother Cody preached on the first part there. "But the gift of God," God provides, has provided a gift and or a plan. Number two, we see he has a strong passion. So, for God so loved the world. We read over in Proverbs 17:17 and Proverbs 18:24. Proverbs 17:17 says, "A friend that loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity." And then the other one is, "A man that has friends must show himself friendly." And there is a friend that sticketh closer than the brother. He so loved us that this next point we see, he had a strong passion. God is this God is love. And we read that in 1 John chapter 4, verse 8 and 10. We see that God is love. And he showed that. And we'll be getting to that here in just a second. But we see the next point here is a sinful people. We see God so loved the world. A sinful people, like Brother Cody's talked about. We are a sinful, this is a sinful nation, a sinful world. We have rejected God completely. So we, first of all, the step is we need to recognize that we are a sinner. And most anybody in here, if I went around in this room and asked every single person, there would be no doubt that you've told a lie, probably. Stolen a cookie out of the cookie jar. Something like that. I mean, come on. Everybody's a sinner. Nobody has done right or can do right. With God's help, we can. But that's once we get saved. Number four is a sacrificing proof. It says that he gave his only begotten Son. I am so glad that he gave his only begotten Son. Because without that's just a clincher right there. That is because he came and died for us, we can have eternal life. In Romans 5:8, it says, let me turn here real quick. I know it by memory, but if I try to quote it, I'll mess it up most likely. Here, Romans chapter 5, verse 8 says, "But God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Commendeth means to put on display. He took that ornament of love, his son, and hung it on the cross to show his love for you and for me. The greatest, talking about that ornament of love, I've heard a song, the greatest Christmas tree of all was that ornament of love that was hung there for all the world to see. But that's, it's not really Christmas time right now. But anyway, number five is a simple plan. This plan is just so easy. You go back here, it says that he gave his only begotten son, and it says that whosoever believeth. I mean, that pretty narrows it down. That's pretty easy to understand right there. That means anybody who wants to believe that Jesus Christ came to this earth, he was born of a virgin, he lived a sinless, perfect life, he died on the cross and rose again for you and for me, can be saved. It's that easy. You just have to believe and receive. It's not hard. And he wants you to have it. It's that free gift. It's like I'm saying, hey, this microphone's pure gold, okay? And Brother Cody, I'm going to give this to you. This is pure gold. But wait. You have to wash my car and vacuum my whole house. It's not a gift then, is it? God freely gives that gift. And when he gives that gift, it's not just the only gift he gives. Once we start living our Christian life, anyway, that's a little off the topic, but he keeps blessing. But it's just such a simple plan. And then we see number six is a sure pledge. Is should not perish, like Brother Cody talked about. We may die physically, but we will live forever with God. We will not perish. We will not spend eternity in hell. We're going to spend eternity in heaven. And then the last, which brings me to this, is a sterling possession. Have everlasting life. Turn over to Romans. Chapter 6, and I read this verse just a minute ago. I'm going to read it again, though. Here it says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The gift of God is eternal life, that sterling possession, everlasting life. And the way we can have that, it shows us right over here in Romans chapter 10. Read these last couple verses, and I'll be done here. It says in chapter 10 of Romans, verse 9, it starts, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt. It's not, well, maybe, or you may know, or you may think so, but it's thou shalt be saved. There is no doubt in that word right there, shalt. No doubt at all. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Verse 13, for whosoever, that word looks familiar. I think I saw that in John 3:16. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Today, you can be saved from that death.
Good morning, everybody.
I'm glad to be here.
Woo! Can you hear me now? All right. May want to shut that off. No, I'm just kidding. All right. You young people and adults as well, you have listened to testimonies. You have listened to messages that are also very true. That, you know, Brother Ross said something. We are here for a reason this morning. There is no thing done by accident with God. And young people, you are here this morning for a very special reason. It's a divine appointment from God. And I would encourage you, just for a little bit, you've listened to some singing by the teen group. Absolutely wonderful. You've listened to some testimonies, wonderful testimonies, and some preaching from God's word about the death, the sin, the wages of our sin, and the eternal life that we're offered. But I'd encourage you just for a moment, just to listen a little bit longer. please just listen a little bit longer, because as I was sitting, I was looking around and watching some of the young people, and some are just kind of, you know, sitting there. They don't really know what to think about this kind of thing. But let me tell you something. You are not here by accident. I ask that you'll please just listen briefly as you would open your Bibles to the book of Acts chapter number 26 very quickly. Acts chapter 26. The book of Acts chapter 26. We'll begin reading. Just read two verses. Verse number 27 and verse 28. If you're there, say amen. Amen. All right. Verse 27, the Bible says, King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. If you would, bow your heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this day. Father, we thank you for the opportunity you've given us to be here. And Father, I ask that you'll please open hearts and minds today of these young people. Father, even adults that are here. Oh God, I ask that you'll please work in a special and powerful way. Father, give me the words to say. Help me not to trip over my words, but Father, help me to be clear in the message that you've given me. I'll thank you and love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This passage of scripture, the Apostle Paul, probably the greatest missionary of all time, the Apostle Paul, is standing before King Agrippa. And he is defending himself. He's been brought before King Agrippa to be judged, and the entire passage of actually chapter 25 and 26 is all about Paul appealing his case to King Agrippa. And then over this entire two chapters, Paul is preaching the gospel to Agrippa. He's preaching the gospel to Agrippa's right-hand man, Festus. And he's showing them, and he's talked just like we've heard this morning about the wages of our sin is death. And he's told these two men that we don't have to die. We can live eternally if we accept Jesus Christ. And it comes down to the end. And Agrippa is fighting with a decision that will affect his eternal destiny. He has heard the man of God preach the very word of God. Agrippa knows the right thing to do. He knows that he needs to accept Jesus Christ. However, there are some things he doesn't want to give up. There are things that have control over him. And so Agrippa makes what is probably the most sad statement in all of human history. Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Paul, almost. That word almost is a very interesting word. I looked it up in the dictionary because, you know, we use it all the time. The word almost means slightly short of or not quite accomplished. All but, about, most, nearly, nigh, virtually, well nigh, close. We use it in sentences like, I almost caught the ball. The Kentucky Wildcats almost went undefeated. Can I get a witness? Amen. Wisconsin almost won the national championship. No, we're gonna get off that. But almost. Almost. So close, but not quite. So here we have in this passage of scripture, Agrippa. He has felt the tug of the Holy Spirit of God upon his heart. He knows what he needs to do. However, he refuses to give in. And I'd like to look at three things that I believe held Agrippa back from being fully persuaded to be a Christian. The first thing I'd like to see is the pleasure of his sin. You see, Agrippa, King Agrippa, Brother Cody talked about sin. There is pleasure in sin, but it's only for a season. And so Agrippa, in the right here and now, Agrippa says, you know what? I don't want to become a Christian because I'm enjoying what I'm doing far too much to give it up. And you know something, ladies and gentlemen, there may be somebody here this morning that is thinking that very same thing. You know something? I know that I need to be a Christian. I know that I need to be saved. I know that if I die in my sin, I will go to hell. But you know what? Right now, I'm just enjoying what I'm doing too much. And you know something? If you continue that, one day you will die and you will go to hell. The pleasure of sin, I believe, held Agrippa back. Number two, his position could have. You notice in verse number 27, King Agrippa. King Agrippa. Who was Agrippa? He was the ruler of a nation. He was a very important person in his society. And you know something? That may have been something that held him back and caused him, you know what? I'm too popular. I can't become a Christian. I can't stoop that low to become a Christian. You know something? There may be somebody here this morning. You know, you're popular in school. You're a sports star or something like that. I don't know who all is here. Maybe you're not popular at all. But you just don't want to stoop low enough to become a Christian. Let me tell you something. One day, you will regret making that decision. One day, you will find that you know, my position really didn't matter. Brother Cody talked about that where, oh, man, my little popper thing fell off. Good night. Oh. Get that back on there. Get squared away. Sorry about that. Brother Cody talked about it this morning, about the wages of our sin. And you know, it's only sin, it's only pleasure for a season. Then once we pass on eternity, you know, everything we do will be forgotten. Everything we have done, everything we are on this earth right now will be completely forgotten. You know why? Because there's somebody much more important to worry about. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. So the position could have held Agrippa back. But then this one really got my heart. Agrippa's peers. I'd like you to look in our text, Acts chapter 26, if you'd look at verse 24. So we know all this entire time, Paul, the Apostle Paul, is preaching to Agrippa and says, Agrippa, you need to be saved. Agrippa, you need to accept Jesus Christ. And as he spake for himself, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, thou art beside thyself. Much learning doth make thee mad. You know something that influenced Agrippa's thought process here? Is when Festus spoke up and said, don't listen to him, Agrippa. He's a madman. He's a nutcase, man. You don't want to listen to that guy. He doesn't know what he's talking about. He's a madman. That's what it says right there in verse number 24. Thou art mad. And you know something? So many times we have these little cliques. We have our own little, you know, bunch of friends here. And we're so worried about what they think. And we're so worried about that, hey, how they perceive us. And that's exactly what affected Agrippa. Agrippa says, oh, man, if Paul's a madman, then you know what? I think you're right, Paul, but you know what? Almost. Almost. Nigh, nearly, close, virtually, but not all the way. I encourage you this morning. You know, the gospel has been presented in a very clear manner. We know that here in a second, we're going to have an invitation. And it's going to be time where you can come and you can be dealt with and you can be shown from the Bible how you can know for sure you're going to heaven. Don't be almost persuaded. Don't be almost persuaded. Don't be virtually persuaded. Don't be everything but persuaded. Be completely persuaded. Romans chapter number 8, I love that verse. And Paul talks about that, where here Agrippa's almost persuaded. But Paul in Romans chapter 8 says, for I am persuaded. See, Paul wasn't almost persuaded. He was completely persuaded. Paul knew that what he wanted to do. Paul wanted to be a child of God, and he was completely persuaded. He said, I'm not going to settle for anything less than what God has for my life. I'm not going to live. I'm not going to be afraid of what people think of me. I'm just going to give up my sin because you know what? There's only pleasure in that for a season. I'm not going to worry about my position because you know what? That can come and go. Paul says, I am persuaded. I am persuaded. I know whom I have believed. And I encourage you young people this morning, please. There has been 1,000 prayers offered up. You know what? There's probably been more than that. You know something? These people here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church have worked and prayed and fasted for you kids today. They have focused their life right now on this day. They wanted you to come. And they wanted you to hear the clear-cut presentation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know something? Don't be almost persuaded. Don't be almost persuaded. I'm reminded of a story that's told by Brother J. Harold Smith. The story goes like this. It was a deacon. He was preaching in a church. And Brother J. Harold Smith was a man that was empowered and directed by the Holy Spirit of God. And he was preaching in a church. And during the invitation, people were coming forward. People were getting saved. It was wonderful. But right back in the about middle of the church, Brother J. Harold Smith said, there was a deacon and his entire family sitting there. And he felt impressed by the Holy Spirit of God to go talk to that family. And Brother J. Harold Smith went right down the line. He went to talk to Dad first. He said, Brother, are you 100% sure that you're going to heaven when you die? The deacon of the church said, yes, sir. Yes, sir, I'm sure. I'm going to heaven. Went right down the line. Mom, older brother, older sister, went all the way down to the youngest little girl. She's about 13, 14 years old. And he says, young lady, you've heard tonight what happens when you die. You know you've been in church. You know the difference between heaven and hell. You know what you need to do to be saved. Are you 100% sure if you died, you'd go to heaven? She says, uh-uh. No, I'm not. I'm not saved. And Brother J. Harold Smith, there for a little while, begged and pleaded with that little girl to come accept Jesus Christ as her Savior. But she wouldn't do it. You know why? Because she was worried what people would think and say about her, because she was the deacon's daughter. And so that night, the meeting closed down. Brother J. Harold Smith, still burdened. That family went home. And on the way home, they met a drunk driver. The car that they were in, dad turned sharp, went into a ditch, and it rolled. And somehow, there was a gas leak. And that gas spread all over the road. And those drunk drivers pulled up, and they had a cigarette in their mouth. They pulled it out, and they flicked it on the road. That cigarette landed right in that gas. And you know, and everybody knows how that goes. You know, that fire will follow that gas. And that's exactly what it did. The fire followed that gas right to the car. You know, everybody except for that little girl got out of that vehicle. And there, as that family was standing there helpless, they could not do anything. That little girl was trapped in the burning vehicle. You know what she said? Oh, I wish I would have gotten saved. Can I get another chance? Just one more chance. No, her time was up. It was too late for her. You see something? We don't know when we're going to die. We don't know when our time is finished. You see, people die every day. Adults, young people, middle-aged people, elderly people, every day. You know something? One day it could be you. And you know something? It would be a terrible thing if you slipped out into eternity and you were almost persuaded. Because you know something? You would spend your life in hell. You would spend the rest of eternity burning in a lake of fire. Oh, we don't want that for you this morning. This church does not want that for you this morning. They've prayed and they've fasted and they've begged God to please work in the heart of the young people that are going to be here today. If you would please, everybody, bow your head and close your eyes. Brother Ross is going to come and give an invitation. Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this day. Father, we ask that you please, please work in the hearts of these young people and the adults, God. Oh, Father, we ask that you please do what only you can do in the Holy Spirit power in Jesus' name.